Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa. And it's my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring to you some good news in the morning. I'm glad you've turned your dial to CFRA this morning. I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what's happening around Good News Christian Ministries. This morning's program has been sponsored by Ed and Gail Moorhead. I want to thank you for your generosity. You've given a gift to all who have tuned in. Thank you so much. And I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are listening internationally via the internet. We're glad that you found us and that you are finding this ministry and encouragement and support. You know, last week, if you had tuned in, you would have heard that we were looking at Jesus' reasons for coming to enter the world. We were looking at his mission statements. Last week, we looked at, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. The good news of Jesus is about life. Real life, full life, abundant life. Jesus wants to give life. Living out the gospel is about living in harmony with God and living in harmony with who you were created to be. It is when you are living there that you will experience real life, true life, abundant life. Now, I know that sin's not a popular topic anymore, but sin is because it is not harmonious with God and it's not harmonious with the way you're created to live. The reason why God hates sin so much is that sin brings death, and death is the enemy, our enemy. It's God's enemy. Sin makes us less than we were made to be. When we don't live in harmony with God and the way we are created to be, it kills our souls. It deadens our heart. It hurts our bodies. It damages our relationship with God. It kills us. It's anti-life. It's anti-gospel. You know, the naked commandments, thou shalt not commandments, those are there to point us towards the things that'll kill us. They are to let us know where the poison is. The commands don't bring life any more than not eating poison brings life. Jesus brings life. Jesus is all about life. But the commands are there to know what will deaden our souls. See, walking in relationship is what brings life. Being connected to Jesus brings life. Living like Jesus brings life. If you want to be fully alive, don't ingest the poison and connect to Jesus. That's the way you become fully alive. However, the reality is that many of us don't live there. Even those who have received Jesus into our lives don't live there. We ingest little bits of poison, and it partially kills us. We are only partially alive. We survive, but we don't really thrive. We don't really live. And what's worse is that we accommodate to the feeling of being only partially alive. And that becomes our new normal. We see the poison we're drinking, and it's kind of like a drug hit. We know it's harmful, but we in the moment, you know, that life feels good. Then we feel shame and regret, and in our shame and regret, we come to Jesus and we confess our sins. But we fail to drink deeply of the water of life that could give us real life. So we continue to walk around feeling half dead. If you get what I'm saying, then you're going to love this morning's Jesus story. It's found in Mark chapter 2, verse 13. This is what it says, New Living Translation. Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. He walked along and he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciples, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. You know, later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as the dinner's guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of the religious law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Did you hear Jesus' mission statement? Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinner. The New Revised Standard Version puts it this way: I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Jesus came for those who are sick. He came for those who are partially alive. I want you to listen to Robin Mark and his album Revival in Belfast, and he's going to sing "With All Faith Believe." I grew up in a Christian home. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was very young. And over the years, I gave my life to Jesus. Unlike many people, I didn't really have a rebellious phase. But I grew up being exposed to amazing testimonies of God's grace. I heard people tell their own stories of brokenness, people who had lost everything through drugs or alcohol but found Jesus and he restored them, people who had all the success in the world but found that their life was empty and their life revolved around themselves until they found Jesus. I heard people tell their stories of all kinds of sins and how they found forgiveness in Jesus. I heard their stories and I read their stories and I read this story and I thought, well, this story is like their story I heard growing up. It is the story of the disreputable sinner coming to know Jesus. It's a great story. You know, my problem was I didn't see myself in the story. I didn't see myself as a Pharisee because I love to hear how Jesus walked with disreputable sinners and how he heals the broken. I didn't see myself as a tax collector and disreputable sinner because my life didn't take that path. So this was a nice story for someone else, but it wasn't for me. But I know my life. I've lived too much of my life being unhealthy. I have not been fully alive. And then I read the story in the New Living Translation, and I heard Jesus say, I've not come to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. And I knew the story was for me. And I believe the story may be for many of you today. Some of you have lived in lives in rebellion against God. You've run from God. The story is for you. Some of you have lived your life mostly as Christians, but you know that you're not fully alive. This story is for you. Some of you know that you are far, far away from God right now. This story is for you. As we looked at last week, if you know someone's mission statement, you can tell a lot about the person. When we see Jesus' mission statement here, it tells us a lot about Jesus. It tells us who Jesus is and who he wants to be for us, and it tells us who Jesus wants us to be for the world. So let's go on to the story. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Then Jesus went out to the lake shore and taught the crowds that were coming to him. He walked along and saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. What you need to know is that the tax collectors in Jesus' day were hated a lot more than the tax collectors in our day. You may not like paying your taxes. You may resent the people who collect it. My apologies to those of you who work for the Canada Revenue Agency. But the tax collectors of Jesus' day, they were viewed as traitors. They worked for the Roman government, who were the oppressors. They oppressed with their rulers. They were oppressed with their soldiers. And the Romans oppressed with their taxes. And people who collected taxes were complicit in that oppression. Tax collectors were seen as traitors to their country, to their religion, and to their God. The closest parallel I can think of in terms of a modern-day tax collector is an ISIS sympathizer. There was not a whole lot of love for tax collectors among the population of Israel. But Jesus sees Levi, also known as Matthew, sitting at the tax collecting booth. Levi was eventually going to write the first book of the New Testament. But nobody but Jesus knew that. Everyone saw him as a horrible person. He was a traitor. And Jesus walks up to him and says, follow me. What does that say about Jesus? It says that Jesus is willing to take a risk on people. Jesus didn't say, well, when you stop being a tax collector, you can follow me. When you reform your image and become more likable, then you can follow me. Jesus takes Matthew right where he is and he says, follow me. And by implication, he is saying, let me lead. You may feel really far away from God. You may feel that you somehow have to clean up your act before you can come to God. That's just not true. Jesus comes to you right where you're at, and then he says to you, let me lead, follow me. Well, Levi, Matthew responded to the call. He got up and he followed Jesus. Mark chapter 2, verse 15 says, later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. The one thing about tax collectors is that they had money. Levi invited Jesus and the disciples to his home. There were 13 of them, in addition to many other tax collectors and sinners. It was a big party. And Jesus has dinner with all these people. Now, you need to understand that in Jesus' cultures, to accept one's hospitality, to eat with someone, spoke of a level of trust and acceptance. Yet we see Jesus eating with the tax collectors and disreputable sinners. And I love Mark's throwaway comment. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. This was not your church crowd, but these were the kind of people Jesus hung out with. The religious people, they weren't impressed. Verse 16, But when the teachers of the religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" Religious people who have missed God's heart always have trouble with the people that Jesus hangs around. But this question, we hear Jesus' mission statement. When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Jesus is a doctor of the soul. He's a doctor of the spirit. He came for people who have been poisoned by sin. He came for people who are dead and not fully alive. Jesus, you see, he's in the business of resurrection and he's in the business of healing. This is who Jesus is. So who does Jesus want to be for you? If you're humble enough to acknowledge that you are not perfect, nor are you fully alive, nor are you fully righteous, then if you can acknowledge that, then Jesus came for you. If you know your heart and if you can see your sin, then Jesus came for you. Well, how does he bring healing to us? How does he bring life to us? He walks right into the middle of our lives and he says, "Follow me, I'll lead, you follow. I'm the one who can lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm the one who can lead you to the living water that will quench your thirst. I'm the one who can lead you into health." He walks into your life and says, "Follow me." There are some of you who have made the choice to follow Jesus a long time ago. I made the choice to follow him 40-some years ago. We all have to make that initial choice to follow him. But I've noticed that most of the Christian walk is not about the big choices to follow, although sometimes we do come to a fork in the road and we need to decide. But most of the Christian walk is about making the little choices to follow, or about the little choices to drink some poison. Who does Jesus want to be for you? He wants to be your leader. He wants to be your doctor. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be the restorer of your life. He wants to lead you away from the poison to fountains of living water. But here's what you need to understand, and I believe that the majority of Christians in North America failed understanding this. Following Jesus is not like following principles or following a philosophy. Following Jesus is following a person. You invite him into every part of your life. Knowing God's words and following his principles are important. They can save you a lot of grief. Knowing God's word and understanding how God wants you to live is really important. It can help you guide you in life. But there's no substitute for being open to Jesus leading you day by day. When Jesus says, "Following me," he's saying it's more than following a philosophy. It's about following me as a person. Here's what I like about Levi. He is who he is in front of Jesus. You know, Levi could have invited Jesus and the disciples one night and had his friends over another night. He didn't do that. He let Jesus into his whole life. He invited them to a party with all his friends. And you know, in this group like this, there's always going to be one person who is the life of the party but has a way of saying things that make you laugh and make you cringe at the same time. You know, as a pastor, I get into some funny situations. For those of you who know me, you know that while I have been a Christian all my life, that I've not led a sheltered life. I at one point in my life was a juvenile delinquent counselor. I've worked with victim advocate services for the police department. But more than that, people forget that as a pastor, you not only get to see people at their best, like on their wedding day, but you see people at their worst, in the middle of their major crises, and in the middle of major sin. And if you know me, you know I'm not easily shocked. If you don't know me and you happen to have a vision of a pastor being unapproachably holy and somewhat distant from the world, then it can lead to some pretty funny situations. At least it's funny for me. Sometimes I'll meet people's friends or family, and they're fun people, but they have a mouth like a trucker or worse. The friends or family members will come up to me and apologize about that person's behavior. Crazy thing is that those are the kind of people Jesus hung around. These are the kind of people that Jesus ate with, that he accepted. You know, Jesus came for people like your friends that make you laugh and cringe. See, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Jesus says, "I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." See, when you follow Jesus, he'll go with you into all the areas of your life, including those areas that have a cringe factor to them. What does Jesus' mission statement say about Jesus? It says that he is a friend to the soul sick, to the unhealthy. Jesus loves people. What does this mission statement say about who Jesus wants to be for us? He wants to be the restorer of our soul. He wants to be our healer. He wants us to come to him with our soul sickness. But the only way that happens is if you say, Jesus, you're my leader. I'm your follower. I will follow you into paths of righteousness. Next question is who does Jesus want us to be for the world? Well, for those of you who follow Jesus, Jesus' mission statement becomes our mission statement. We're called to bring healing to those who are sick in heart and soul. We're called to bring light to those who walk in darkness. We're to be amongst the disreputable sinners for Jesus' sake. See, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call those who, not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. I love the comment from Mark that there were those kind of people amongst Jesus' followers. They seemed to be okay around Jesus. You know, Jesus was the holiest man who ever lived. But his holiness did not seem to be a barrier to people. See, holiness usually isn't when it's accompanied by genuine joy and genuine love. You know, what we say about the church I pastor is, come as you are, no perfect people allowed. If you think you're perfect, look for another church. You know, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Jesus said, I've come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they're sinners. If you're listening today and you feel far from God, I want you to know that Jesus came for you. Yeah, I talk to some people and invite them to church, and they say, well, if I was to walk into church, lightning would strike me down. That's not true. The reality is that Jesus came for you. You're the kind of person Jesus hung around. But he loves you too much to leave you where you are. He says, come, follow me. I want to lead you into a full life, a rich life, abundant life. Jesus invites you to talk to him simply by talking to him in prayer, saying, Jesus, you said if I could come to you just as I am, that you would give me life. I know that you accept me and love me the way I am, but that you want me to follow you and to become the person you want me to be, the person I was made to be. Lord, help me to follow you. I give my life to you right now. A prayer like that does amazing things because Jesus comes into you. So it's not about your willpower to somehow keep the rules. It's about just following Jesus step by step, day by day, into the life and into the person he's leading you to be. I want to invite you on that adventure, on that journey. I want to invite you to where you are right now, just to, in the quietness of your own heart, just to pray, Jesus, come into my life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you are the life bringer. Thank you that you come for those who are not perfect. Lord, thank you you come for those who are sinners. Lord, we see in your word that the people you hung around were people who were just normal, everyday people, but you called them to be their best selves because of what you could do for them, because you would lead them to God. Lord, I'm asking that many people today would give their lives to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that you've chosen to tune in this morning to listen to Good News in the Morning. I want you to know that Jesus came for you, and nothing could encourage us more than if you were to let us know that we've been a factor in your faith journey. You can contact us by Twitter or via the website goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Thanks for listening this morning. This program is aired by the grace of God and the donation of many faithful people. I especially want to thank Gail and Ed Moorhead for sponsoring this particular program. Blessing to you. If you can help financially, we'd really appreciate it. You can make checks payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. You can also give by going to our website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. My prayer is that you may know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly, that you would find him your leader, and that you would follow well. My prayer is that you will be blessed deeply this week. We're going to go out by listening to Brian Dorkson in his album, Holy God, Change Me on the Inside.
I long for freedom to live in the truth. I want to be more like you. But every time I try to bring about change, I only touch the visible me. There's
only one way I'm really gonna change.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580